But I want you to read with me in verse 14 down through verse 21. Verse 14 says this: "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, you guys know verse number 16 by heart. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For the main text this evening, I want to read verse number 17. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light was come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, we do come before you tonight, O God. I do come before you tonight, God, knowing that without you I cannot do anything at all. And I pray, Father God, as we share in this message this evening the things that I believe that you've laid upon my heart, God, let it not fall on deaf hearts or deaf ears. But God, let it go forth and accomplish each and everything that, God, that you have so desired for it to accomplish tonight. And Father, we thank you and we honor and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I do realize that we are, use the terminology, right smack dab in the middle of the Christmas season. As it's always been stated, Christmas means different things to different people. Some people, it's a most joyous time and a time of celebrations and events and parties in homes. Other times, it's painful and reminiscing and thinking back. And I know I do that sometimes, and I'm guilty as charged. But yet, all in all, we have to stop and think about the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas in and of itself is extremely unique. Unique for several reasons. Because of angels, because of Gabriel, because of what the angel delivered to Joseph and the message that was delivered to Mary. But yet when I was studying earlier today, my thoughts on the uniqueness went way beyond angels. It went way beyond a manger. It went way beyond an innkeeper that looked and said, "There's no room in the inn." It looked beyond the wise men. Looked beyond those that brought their frankincense and their gold and their myrrh. When I began to think about God and I began to think about the uniqueness of Christmas, that God made Jesus unique in all ways. Everything you think about Jesus, it was perfectly and divinely shaped and framed for the redemption of humanity. We think about the scripture here in verse number 17 of our text. And it actually says these words and the uniqueness of it, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God became our Emmanuel in the flesh. The Bible reminds us of that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, where the Bible says, and it reminds us again of how that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The uniqueness of Jesus himself, that the Word of God, God spoke everything that we know into existence. But God also allowed his Son to come and do some of the things we're going to talk about here tonight. It was very unique that Jesus came. Again, when we look at the scripture, we think about God's Emmanuel. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but you can look back to Matthew chapter number 1, verse 21, where the Bible says to Joseph and how that Joseph was being told about this, the birth of this child that was coming to his virgin maiden. As Brother Scott talked about on Sunday morning, he thought to himself, but yet he could have walked away and could have left it all. But how the angel of God came and delivered a message unto him. And the message that was delivered is the message that we read tonight. And we see this in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, I want you to try in your heart and mind tonight to think about the uniqueness of Jesus in the respect that no other blood, no other person, only Jesus can wash your sins away. Only Jesus can wash my sins away. Only Jesus can do what needs to be done in the heart of humanity. I'm not going to meddle a whole lot tonight. I'm not going to chase too many rabbits, if you will, if that be the case. But our world, my friend, it don't take a whole lot to figure out. Anybody watch the news over the last day or two? It don't take the rest of you, go turn the news on. You'll get caught up fast. It don't take a whole lot to figure out today that this world needs a Savior. The world is not that stupid. But the world wants what the world wants. The world wants the pleasure of the flesh. The world wants to gratify the flesh. And we see that in our society today. But yet, a lot of the stuff in our society, we're not going to stop. But yet, in the uniqueness of Jesus, Jesus came to die for a world that is so lost. Have you ever thought about that this evening? Of how that God himself, in the uniqueness of Jesus, where the Bible again teaches us in verse 22 of this same text, and all of this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know what Emmanuel means, and we sing songs about that. And again, where the Bible says, and which has been interpreted, is God with us. When we think about the uniqueness of Jesus, when we think about what Jesus has done, we think about what Jesus actually did in his own flesh for one purpose: to reconcile lost humanity. See, a lot of times we look at the world today and the world thinks that even Christians are here to condemn, and the Christian church is here to throw stones, and the Christian church is here to bash sinners. In all reality, God loves the sinner. God despises the sin. God hates the sin. Why? Because God watched from heaven above as his son Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for sin, for the sinners, and he gave his life for the sins of humanity. You know the story. I don't have to be redundant and repetitive, but you think about the cross. You think about God the Father knowing that He sent His only begotten Son to the cross, and He saw His Son as He was beaten. He saw His Son as the beard was pulled from His face. He saw His Son as He was spat upon. He saw His Son as the spear went into His side. But yet God was willing again to give His Son for you, and He was willing to give His Son for me. But yet we look at this, and God's plan was one plan, a single plan. And again, people may get mad at the preacher, but God's plan was not to make you get rich so you could buy a new car. God's plan was not for you to gloat and to prance around, or whatever that word is, prance around. And to say, look what I've got. I told someone today that money is nothing but a tool that God has given us. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Even though people have these things, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have things. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus came to redeem you and me. Christmas is all about Jesus, and it's all about redemption. And let me just go ahead and say this and get it off the record. I like things as much as everybody else likes things. But I don't do what I do for things. Come on, somebody. But we do this because Jesus Christ Himself came. He came. He died. He gave His life for you to reconcile Himself, to reconcile man back to Himself. And to report this evening, we can look at this, that Jesus is the only way today. We know that. The Bible tells us that, again, for it's by faith that we are saved. And again, the Scripture reminds us that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done. But again, Ephesians says, by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. God's gift to you. The uniqueness of Emmanuel. The uniqueness of God sending His Son to you and to me, that you and I could be saved and born again. I don't know about you, but we should never, ever, under any circumstances, take our redemption for granted, if you will, because it cost Jesus a lot for that to happen. And I could only imagine in my mind, as I thought through some of this stuff today, as I thought about how that God, the uniqueness of God, because Jesus is as much God as God is God. But yet we understand that God allowed Jesus to come through the womb of Mary. And God sent His Son into this cruel world. One of the things that the Bible teaches us in the Scripture that we read. Again, Moses reminds us here. And Moses lifted up the serpent. We know the story of Moses in the wilderness. And if you don't, look it up. But it was a sign in the Old Testament with Moses that everyone that saw the serpent upon the pole and they looked upon the serpent is they were freed, and they lived and they didn't die from the diseases and the plagues that was there at that time. So again, in the New Testament, we see that where John was writing this is a reflection. And he goes back and he tells them there in the Scripture, and this is actually recorded in Numbers 21 and 9. But it is actually there where it talks about this serpent. And he says, Jesus talking and saying, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I know years ago, we sang out of the convention book. And I remember this song, and it talked about when we get lifted up. When we get lifted up out of the miry clay, when we get lifted up out of our sins, can I report unto you this evening that it is only by Jesus, the uniqueness of Christmas, no other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. God's plan to reconcile. Again, you think reconciliation is to be the word redemption. It's a word that talks about being brought back. It's a reconciliation. It's amending. It's amending. It's bringing two parties back together. And we think about condemnation. We think about where the Bible says this in the Scripture, that God did not come to condemn the world. And a lot of times people miss that verse, and it's there in verse number 17. God did not come to condemn the world. And here's one of the things that so often I think about, and so often I think that people who are in their sin think about God. Now listen, I don't mean to be preaching. I know somebody told me the other day, well, you're a preacher, you're supposed to preach. But I get wired up. I get wound up in this stuff. Because people in our world today, they think of God somewhere, Sister Janice, on the throne, and they think that God's a mean God, and he's got a baseball bat, and he can't wait to just hit somebody with that baseball bat. And people in the world today, they associate God with judgment, and God is a judge, and we'll get into that maybe at some point. But that's all they can think about. As God came to beat me down, or I don't want to come to the church because I feel so bad and I get beat down when I come to church. And in all reality, I know conviction, and I know we need to confront sin, and we need to talk about sin. I understand that. But this scripture, as it was delivered into my heart, was my assignment this evening is simply this, that God did not come into the world to condemn you. And if I'm talking to people online, y'all just forgive me. God did not come into the world to condemn you. And we think about condemnation, and we think about getting beat down all the time, and we think about how we feel when we feel condemned by somebody. I don't like to be condemned no more than you. I don't like to be put down no more than you. But we think about the word that God in the scripture, it says this, He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. What does that word actually mean? Condemn, what does it mean? I looked it up. I normally always try to look up words and bring some type of revelation to a word. If you think about the word condemn this evening, what is it that comes to your mind? So if you look in the Vines concordance, and I use the Vines as well as the Strong's a lot, but the Vines concordance, actually, when you look up the word condemn and condemnation, it is a word in the Strong's concordance that actually, watch this, the word condemn actually means to actually strike down, or to pronounce judgment on, or it means to pass sentencing up on, or to arrive at a verdict. And as you look at this evening, when the Bible says that God did not come into the world to condemn the world, and this is awesome, and this is shouting material right here, because God did not come to the world through his son Jesus to strike you down or to strike me down. God came into the world to lift us up. God came into the world to offer you hope and to give you and I hope this evening. Christmas, the uniqueness of Christmas is that God did not come to condemn us, but God came through a manger, my blessed Jesus, to give you and I the hope that all things of this world cannot offer you, the hope that only Jesus can offer you. You say, well, you're preaching to saved people this evening. You're preaching to the choir. And we already know that. If you know that, you ought to be shouting happy tonight. We ought to be rejoicing tonight that God did not condemn us. You say, is God going to judge people because of their sin? You bet your boots he will. But I guarantee you that the world today is being they feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I guess that's the best way I can say that. I know I did, Betty, when I was in my sins. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have a clue what it was. But Brother Russell, I knew better than to do wrong. And I did wrong anyway, knowing that it was wrong when I was doing it. In the world today, and this is my experience, your experience may be different than my experience, but so many people today that's in sin, that's not saved, They just go headlong, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. for the biggest reason is, it's a mindset that I'm already a sinner, or I'm already in this far, and a little bit further ain't going to hurt nothing anyway because I'm already this deep into it. That's the mindset of the world. But my friend, I'm telling you, God came through the manger. And you know the gospel, you know the story. But here's the thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, is that God did not come to condemn us. If you look in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, it tells us in verse 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And this is what he says there. He says, and you hath he quickened. What does the word quickened mean? This is what, again, it means to be made alive. We were dead. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. The uniqueness of Christmas is simply this, that Emmanuel came not to condemn us. And Emmanuel came to deliver us and to rescue us from ourselves, but to come and deliver us from our sins, that we no longer have to live in the condemnation of our sins tonight. My blessed Lord, I know it's Wednesday night on a rainy Wednesday night, and I'm not supposed to get this wired up on Wednesday night. But I thank God. I thank God. I wasn't but 18 year old when I heard somebody tell me they loved me. For the first time in my life, I reckon that's the first time I ever felt like anybody loved me. Not to say anything wrong against anybody else, but something, Brother Stanley, hit me that day. And when it hit me, it let me know I was worth something to somebody. That lady that led me to the Lord, at least she took a little time for me. At least she invested a little bit of something in me. And to let me know that I was not walking under the condemnation of my flesh or condemnation of Alan anymore. But Jesus actually loved me. Could you imagine? As good of messages as Billy Graham preached all the years that Billy Graham preached. Yes, Billy Graham preached a very solid, straightforward message, but he always rolled it back around. It's to let people know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you. You don't have to go to hell. That you're valuable in the face of God, and you're valuable to Him. Is this okay? And he says in the Word, again, verses 2, he says, we were, he said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But look in verse 3, thanks be to God. He says, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And then he says again, and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. If I had time, I would stop there, because it's all Adam's fault. Adam and Eve? Yes. I told somebody one time, said, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? I said, I'm going to go find Adam and kick him in the shin. Then I'm going to go find Jesus. But he said, even as others, verse 4 says it like this. I love it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, Emmanuel, John 3:16, Emmanuel, now in 2022, going into 2023, Emmanuel, God is with us. No longer are we pilgrims, no longer are we struggling to make our way to heaven, but Jesus Christ came, He gave His life, and He sacrificed it, and He made it available for whosoever will. Then He looked at this, He said, for His great love, great love, there's agape. You can look it up, agape. Agape is designed simply this, that God not giving you and I what we wanted, but God doing and giving you and I what He knew that we really needed. We needed a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. We needed a Savior. We were condemned. We were walking according to the course of this world, after the lust of the flesh. But somewhere along the way, hallelujah, Jesus came. He knocked upon my heart's door. Thank God for the lady that led me to the Lord. I answered the call, and now my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And where I was on my way to hell, God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but God came into the world that the world might be saved. Emmanuel, God is with us this evening. Hallelujah. Thank God this evening that He's with us. Where would we be? Oh, where would I be tonight without God? Glory to God forevermore. I don't mean to be loud. I don't mean to be preachy, but it just gets in my spirit every now and then. Where would I be? Where would you be? Amen. People get high and lofty. Like they're entitled in God. They're entitled to God. Oh no, my friend. Where would we be tonight if God didn't look through the eons of time and through the scope of time, found a little old redneck hillbilly boy, backer dipping, running up and down Thompson Cove, and didn't hardly have nothing to his name. But God found me. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm preaching to myself happy tonight, Russell, you say every now and then, say, hey, man, help me along. Right. But you think about it, Emmanuel. Yes. Think about God and God finding you and His mercy. Mercy, we think about that scripture, rich in mercy. Mercy, God not giving you, God not delivering to you what you really do deserve. Amen. Mercy. And He says, wherewith He loved us. How many of you are thankful for the love of God? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God doing for me what I did not have the strength or the ability to do for myself. My friend, we think about that this evening, that man was condemned already because of the Adamic nature in us. But God has quickened us. God has made us alive. Even though, my friend, the world that we are living in today is so, so lost. There's a time in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, 59, 1 and 2 of Isaiah, is a time when God spoke to Israel, and Israel was told, and God reminded them of their sinful nature and their sinful condition. And He writes this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy." Don't make no difference. Listen close to the pastor. It don't make no difference where you've been. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, preacher, I don't know that we need that kind around here. Nobody's told me that. Nobody said that to me. Thank God. But if you'll pause long enough to think about where you were at, the condition you were in, and the condition you were in when God found you, you say, "I found God." No, God found us. He left the 99 safe in the fold. I was lost. It's like the coin. It's like the son. It's like the lady that went to find the sheep. When Jesus talks about went to find the sheep. We were lost and undone. For so many years, I thought I found Him, you know, at the Clyde Church of God. No, Jesus knew exactly where I was going to be. Exactly where I was going to be found at, and He found me there. How many of you got a lost loved one? I'm praying that God visit them this Christmas, and Emmanuel, show up. See, Israel, God was reminding them again that the Lord's hand is not short. He's able. Emmanuel is able, that it cannot save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Come on, say amen right there. Don't make no difference where you've been. And then He said, "Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, I tell people, I said, all you've got to do is call out on the name of the Lord. The first verse of Scripture I ever learned in all of my life was from my welding teacher at Haywood Community College. And Clark Sales told me, go read Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee the great, the mighty things which thou knowest not. Call to me. My Lord, if I was a preacher tonight, I'd scream it from the rooftop. Call to me. Call to him. You say you don't have to holler. When you preach, you holler and do it the way you want to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Son, I tell you, it's like fire.
Yes.
Fire. He said, verse 2, here's the problem. But your iniquities. If I had time, I'd talk about repentance. Because repentance is still required for salvation. These little old crocodile tears that don't make no difference when you walk out of a service or you walk out and you go back and do the same thing over again and you only want the empathy of men and somebody to see what's... Now, I'm not saying anybody does that, but I am saying that people can put on the dog, people can put on the show. But true repentance is that you're grieved over the things that you're aware of that grieve the heart of God. True repentance is a requirement of the word repent means a change in direction. A change in direction, a total turnaround. God rearranges things in your life. God will rearrange your whole. I mean, it's a total makeover. Somebody said it's like turning over a new leaf. No, it's the new birth. It's been born again as you were born in the flesh. Now you are born by the Holy Spirit. You're born again. And no longer are you walking according to the course of the world by the things of the flesh, but now you're walking by the power of the Spirit. So we see that God in the Scripture, God was reminded to Isaiah, to the children of Israel, your sins have separated you. It reminds me again, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. That everybody needs an Emmanuel. Everybody needs Jesus. I don't care who they are. The rich, the poor, the black, the white. Hispanics. And if I could go through a list of nationalities, I would say that Jesus loves all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It don't matter. God sent His Son, again in Galatians 4. God sent His Son in Galatians 4. If you look in verses 4 through 6, this is what God reminds us of. He says in verse number 4 of this scripture, but when the fullness of time was come, when the fullness of time was come, I thought about that. And again, I didn't study that part of it. But it was a perfect timing that God knew exactly when His Son was going to come on the scene. Everything had to be exact. Everything had to be lined up exactly at that time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The law was still intact. They were still being Jews at that time. They were still following the law. I mentioned that on Sunday. Of how that the people there, when Jesus came on the scene, how different it was that they quit walking by the thing, not quit walking, but the law was fulfilled. Everything that Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law. And then they started walking by faith. As we walk by faith today, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5 says it like this. He says, if you look at it, to redeem them that were under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. We've been adopted into a new family. We use that song sometimes. We used to sing it a lot more. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Somebody say, man, are you glad you're a part of the family of God? I'm glad I have a family. Come on, somebody. Amen. And he says again, the next, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, he says this, and because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. The next verse we look at, I've already tap danced around that a little bit. But we see this in the scripture that we see this in the text. Again, in verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world was walking in condemnation already. In other words, there was a verdict. In other words, God was always against those that are sin. We understand that God remedied that. God remedied that when He gave Jesus the Christ for you and for me. Verse 18 says this, for he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. People that are hearing the gospel, people that have opportune times to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me meddle here for a minute. I don't know the big scheme of things. But how many of you would agree with me that since 2020, our world has drastically changed? It has drastically changed. And this whole thing is it shifted, I think, around March the 15th or so in 2020. Our world just sort of went crazy. I mean, people don't even know gender anymore. Is that a nice way to say that? And you have people and says it's okay, and so on and so forth. I'll get into that maybe later when I want to get in trouble one Sunday. We're living in a warped up world, folks. But this is the condemnation that men love sin more than they love God. And everything that's went on this week, if you watched a little bit of the news, I watched about that much of it, and I'll be honest with you. I got my belly full of it, Brother Wes, and I turned it. You turned it off too? I heard about all I wanted to hear. Yet some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. What was it? Passed that law, wasn't it? That's what I was thinking it was. I wonder if God's weeping tonight. I'm not going to be liked. I told Sherry, I said, I'm not going to get out of this world being liked. I just want God to be pleased with me.
Amen.
And the longer I live, Bobby, is the more I know the church is going to come under fire and persecution. I was told through resources, I don't think it's going to happen, and I know I'm online. How y'all doing? But the way it's going right now, that a church can be sued if they don't marry two homosexuals. That's, people will start bringing lawsuits against churches and ministers and preachers and people. I don't even want to get into that tonight. The only thing I wanted to say was the world was condemned already. We're living in a sin sick world. And I could go on and tell you many scriptures, and I could take you to Romans 1, and you can debate Romans 1. And argue Romans 1. Listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go read it. Paul was writing that to the people there at Rome. And I had somebody tell me not long ago, well, it's a different now. And things now are more acceptable now than they've ever been before. The only thing that's changed is the consciousness of men. And men love darkness rather than light. Because this is the condemnation. Because they love darkness rather than light. And they because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me turn this message back around in my last few minutes. The world's already condemned. We need a remedy. Christmas is the remedy. Christmas is Emmanuel. I could stand up here and beat the drum all night long of how dark the world is, and how that God hates sin, and God is, the world's condemned, and how that sodomy and all of that is wrong, and et cetera, and so forth and so on. And people know that. And I know it can't be just one-sided. I understand that. But a lot of times people don't even know the love of God, because they think the love of God, they think God is going to beat them over the head. God's died for us. I know the church is here, but God died for us. His Son died that you and I could be redeemed, just like the people on the outside of these doors. I don't appreciate the sin. I don't agree with the sin. I don't agree with it, and I'm not going to be participating in other men's sins. But somehow or another, we've got to break the barrier and let people know that Jesus is there to love them, and that God is not willing that they perish and that they die in their sins and that they die and go to hell. You don't have to tell a drunkard he's a drunkard unless he's in denial. He already knows that. You don't have to tell a sinner he's a sinner. He already knows that. But sometimes a drunkard don't know how to lay the bottle down. He don't know how to break free from the drive of addiction. And sometimes people that's in sin, they don't know how to get out of sin. And that's why Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You've got to go and tell them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So it's a balance, folks. It's a juggling act sometimes. You've got to tell people, yes, you'll die in your sins and God will judge you. But way before God will ever judge you, God's trying to do everything He can to woo you and to draw you back to His side right now. Amen. Can somebody say amen? And then we look at this and we see that the wages of sin is death. We see that again in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. We know what the Scripture says. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says these words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look in 24. Verse 24 says, being justified freely. Freely. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But we're being justified. What does the word justified mean? It just means to be positionally in front of Jesus. Positionally in this context. Just as if we had never sinned. Think about Emmanuel this Christmas. Standing before Him because of the baby in the manger. Because of what Jesus Christ came to do. That He's washed us and He's cleansed us. He's made us whole. Heard a story one time and it's come in my heart 3 or 4 times tonight. So I'm going to tell you the story. Heard a story one time of a young man that was at a busy intersection. And this young man, Brother Russell, all of a sudden had stepped almost right out in front of a car. And a man behind him grabbed him and he jerked him off the highway back onto the sidewalk and saved his life. Kept him from complete destruction. Ruin. Death. 2 weeks later, the same young man found himself in a courtroom. And as he looked on the stand, he said, I know that man. The man sitting on the stand was the same man that pulled him from in front of that speeding car and pulled him back onto the sidewalk. As the young man stepped forward, he looked at the man on the stand and he said, but sir, you remember me. You remember me. And the man looked at the young man. He said, yes, I do, young man. I know exactly who you are. And I remember you well. 2 weeks ago, I was your Savior. But today, I am your judge. And I think about God. My God, I feel Him. Whoo! I think about God our Father, as good as He is, Russell, to sinners, to you, to me. Right now, Benny, we're in a time of grace. We're in a time of mercy. I wish my children would get saved. I wish my children would turn their hearts over to God. I've taught them and I've showed them the way of salvation. Even though, Stanley, I made some mistakes, I was more concerned about their religion than I was their relationship with Jesus. I tell you that right now. When my children were little, I was more concerned about them pleasing the church of God than I was pleasing the Savior. I look back on it and I see that, and I apologize over and over, and I wish I could make it better somehow. I come a place and a point in my life where I know that Jesus is the most important thing. You've got to know Jesus in your heart. Everything else will line up. Everything else in life will line up if we can just get Jesus in our heart. If we can get the love of God in our heart. If we can get the love of Jesus in our heart. Everything else, because once you've been redeemed and once you've been changed, you've got one focus in your life: to live every day as close to Him as you can. Every day pleasing Him and loving Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him and magnifying Him and living a life that's going to bring praise and glory and honor to God Himself. Now go back to our text and I'll be done shortly. Woo, have y'all felt God tonight, or has it just been me? I tell you what, I have enjoyed myself in Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I have enjoyed feeling and sensing and knowing that my blessed Jesus, that I could have been lost, so lost. The track I was on. Let me tell y'all something, friend. I've already said it. I was just an old redneck hillbilly that lived up in the head of Thompson Cove in Clyde. I didn't care if the sun come up. I didn't care. I'd cuss you out in a heartbeat and grin at you while I was doing it. I didn't care. I didn't smoke dope. I didn't drink liquor. I didn't run around with women. But man, I'd cuss you out in a heartbeat because I enjoyed cussing. It made me feel like a big man. He did. I could probably cuss you out now if you got me mad enough. No, I'm just kidding. We don't forget, do we? You have to keep that old flesh man under submission. Don't y'all look at me so sanctimonious. Don't y'all look at me all holy. Everybody in this room's got a button. But I thank God for what He did, Brother West. I could have been so lost. I could have already been dead and in hell tonight. Amen. I could have been so messed up in my mind. And somebody says, you're pretty messed up now. Well, that's your opinion. You know, told Bobby the other day, somebody said he was a nut. And I said, thank God he's on the right boat. Hallelujah. All of us could be so messed up tonight. We could be so just totally just messed up. But Janice, He found you. As a little kid, something about Him wouldn't let you go. And you got a hold of Him, and He got a hold of you. And all through life, He keeps pulling on you and tugging on you. Why? Because we have redemption. We've been bought back. We've been delivered. Let me read this text. And He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. I've already talked about all that, because their deeds was evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, rebuked. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Our deeds are made manifest. No longer are we serving the things of the flesh. No longer are we serving the things of the world. So this Emmanuel, the uniqueness of Jesus this year, when we think about Christmas, when we sing these songs Sunday morning that we're going to be singing, we have folks here that might not be here tonight. May the Spirit of the living God this Christmas season pierce our hearts to know, and I could go through another section of Scripture or two, but for you and I to know that we've been redeemed by the blood. That God sent Jesus as a wee little baby in the manger the way he did, because God wanted his son to come back to this earth as a man, at all points tempted like us, the Bible says, but yet without sin. It's so that you and I could be redeemed. Penny, if you could just come, and I'm going to give us a minute tonight to think about not only Christmas. Yes, I love Christmas trees. Yes, I love the decorations. I love all those things, and I try to be very open to those things. But I don't want to get so caught up in the glitter that I forget our Emmanuel. That I forget what Jesus did. One of the songs that we sing is Our Emmanuel. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for what Jesus did. Have you ever thought about heaven? About the opportunity to go to heaven? And I know people are passing away. Loved ones are passing away. But just to be reunited with those not only that we've loved and those that we've missed, and we will miss them, but yet to think about that God sent his son into this old world, not to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. Stand with me. Emmanuel. I could probably sing it, but I'd lose half the words. I told Penny, I said, I don't remember.